Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, Sangoma traditional healer, priestess, and medicine woman, Gogo Tule Gane.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Jacqueline Fuentes. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I had an experience this weekend with my brother and his family. We were talking in Italian, as we sometimes do, or we speak in English and then throw in an Italian word or phrase. And at one point, my niece says to me, what did that mean about a particular Italian phrase that either my brother or I use? And I said, well, that's an idiomatic expression. And then the next question is, well, what does that mean? I thought, oh, okay. So an idiomatic expression, actually, and I don't know if I said it this eloquently, but I looked it up for your sake, an expression whose meaning cannot be inferred from the meanings of the words that make it up. So, gosh, what are some great, actually, the cockles of my heart. Like, what does that mean, right? So, but the point that I was trying to make to my niece is that it's an expression we use in Italian that if you're born into the culture, you understand it. And it's not, like, easily translatable. But I did tell her what we mean by it, in a sense, because you don't really get it unless you've kind of lived within it for a while, in a sense. So I got to thinking about that as I left my family, and I thought about it all night, and 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm researching, thinking, you know, idiomatic expressions, these are words that we say, but what about things that we do as a culture and that other cultures do that we do that are cultural? Do we have a word for that? And it wasn't until today that I came up with cultural idiosyncrasies. Now, an idiosyncrasy is a unique personality trait or mannerism, and that just kind of applies to a person. But what about when we kind of grow up in a culture, not kind of, we do, and we all in this culture kind of do this? Well, I think that's important to know what we do in our culture that is kind of unique. Especially since, you know, some of them we might be taking on that we don't want to take on. And then there are people in other cultures who have theirs. And how ignorant are we, so as a culture, am I, of what other cultures, what their quote-unquote cultural idiosyncrasies are? And so I'm just exploring this more and more because I've always been fascinated about my culture, of course, the American culture, the Italian culture, but so many other cultures. And in these idiosyncrasies, I think, in these cultural idiosyncrasies, are some gifts to some of the problems that the culture has experienced and to some of the gifts that the culture could give other cultures. I don't think it's a coincidence that today we have two powerful women guests, one that is spreading an ancestral culture from Africa, and another one that is spreading her culture from Chile and the Latin American countries. So I'm looking forward to learning about their culture and some of their cultural idiosyncrasies. We might even hear them or feel them here on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter @Life Changes Show and Facebook @The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leger. And actually, Mark, I could and will say thank you because you have pointed out, cared to point out so many of my idiosyncrasies that, you know, some of which I've liked and wanted to do them more, and some of which hopefully I don't do anymore. So thank you.
You're welcome. I've also pointed out your cultural idiomatic idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, this is true.
For that matter.
This is true. And you know, likewise, I've noticed some in you and some, you know, you say, oh, that's me growing up in Ohio. That's where that comes from. That comes from Cleveland, or that comes from my mom, or that comes, right?
Those are Clevelandiosyncrasies.
Clevelandiosyncrasies. Yes, we should explore that. There might be some.
That deserves a whole show, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we'll move on to West Africa in the meantime. We have our guest here. We've titled the show Ancient Medicine for the Soul with Songama traditional healer, priestess, and medicine woman. I'm just going to go with Gogo Tule. And welcome, Gogo, to the show.
Thank you. Greetings, Sobona.
Sobona?
Sobona, yes.
What does that mean?
It means I see you, and it's a form of greeting.
Oh.
So it kind of works like namaste in Zulu.
Talk about idiomatic expression.
Yes.
Right off the bat.
Beautiful.
Yes. How did you say it?
Sobona.
Sobona.
Yes.
So actually, while I was talking about idiosyncrasies and idiomatic expressions, you were nodding your head about, especially when I was getting to the gifts that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that, because first of all, I thought you actually were born in this country, but you weren't.
Correct. I was born in West Africa, Burkina Faso, and raised here in the United States on the East Coast.
Because you came at 4 years old.
Four years old, right.
So for all intents and purposes, you were getting your culture from America.
Right. Absolutely. Was definitely raised here in the U.S., but I would say the first couple of years of my life actually felt like I was in Africa.
Uh-huh.
I was surrounded by my father worked in an international community, and so definitely around a lot of African people and people from different cultures, but then definitely a lot of the influence was very Western, especially through school and also through our Catholic upbringing.
Mm-hmm. And TV, I'm sure.
And TV.
Bugs Bunny, let's not forget.
And Barbies.
And Barbies, exactly.
Teenage, the Babysitter's Club, and all those things that heavily influenced, my upbringing. Yeah.
Now, you would go back to West Africa to visit family, with your family, right?
Yes. That's one thing that I appreciate about my father, is that he felt that it was important for us to go every 2 years, spend a month in the summer, eat all our auntie's foods and, you know, play with our cousins and get to know the family. It would take a month just to see the whole family and spend time in the village, not just in the city. And it really gave me an appreciation, at least for home and family. And it always gave me a sense of wanting to go back and wanting to be able to give back.
Mm.
I didn't know how. I thought I would be a CEO of a major corporation so I could just take care of my whole family.
Mm.
But it's definitely something that stood with me. It was just like, okay, I'm going to, you know, make use of what, you know, my dad came here, got an education and got a job, and I felt gratitude, you know, and like, okay, I got to live up to all of these blessings and opportunities that he's worked really hard to provide for me.
Well, arguably, you are taking care of your family just in a different way.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that. So you were raised with the American culture and then also with the West African culture.
Yes.
But more food and music and maybe dance and all that, but not necessarily necessarily spirituality. That was very Catholic, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All the way around. Mm-hmm. So what was this calling that you felt towards something else?
Yeah, absolutely. At first, I really just went through a phase where I wanted to take my religion seriously. I wanted to understand God. I wanted to understand my purpose. And by the time I got to college, I was going to like every Bible study on campus, trying to find answers and also dealing with guilt and concepts like sinning. And so I got to a point where I felt like I just wasn't being answered. And I just decided to explore and expand. And I just started studying. I randomly came into a really popular book called Conversations with God, mm-hmm. By Neil Donald Walsh. And literally, as I started reading some of the pages in the books, it was answering the things that were keeping me up at night. And so these universal, spiritual, a little new age, I guess, concepts were like opening me up because it felt there was a resonance. And it helped me deal with a lot of the religious things that weren't resonating with my spirit. And I just felt like it was answering me. And so I just started to explore. And I was on my own and just studying because nobody in my family was into this. My friends weren't really into it. But I felt like I needed to know. And I needed to know
the lonely path.
And then I started to experience a lot of anxiety and depression. And I didn't understand why, because my life was fine. I have a great family. But I'm feeling this pull. And at first I thought that meant, it was like metaphysics. And I wanted to be an interfaith minister. And so I kept studying and learning.
Oh, and that went well with your family.
And that
I'm sure.
didn't go well Uh-oh. With my family. The first time, when I first brought to them the whole interfaith minister thing, it was a really difficult conversation. It was not well received. They thought that somebody must have been leading me into some form of cult. And, you know, my father asked me this really difficult question, like, are you Catholic or are you not? Mm. And he asked me in a way where I couldn't say my true answer, because interfaith meaning I resonate with the universal collective understanding and many paths. But the way that he asked the question, it was a no. And I honestly felt heartbroken by that conversation. It was very teary-eyed for me.
And a separation.
Yeah. I felt really separated. And it was really strange because he had actually went through a similar phase in his 20s where he explored different faiths. He started going to the Baha'i Church. Mm. And then he dedicated himself to Catholicism and his understanding that he got through seminary school. So I just didn't understand why he couldn't accept my phase of exploration, you know, but I felt like it was something that I had to continue to explore and know, because it was this rumbling inside of me, right? And so I started to have certain experiences that were kind of affirming me. One of the first things that happened before I started to branch out of just researching and studying was one of my family friends came to visit. And I was really, really depressed at this time. And I was getting ready to just go outside for a walk, because that was the one thing that I knew that I could just do, was just spend time in nature. And right before I went out for my walk, my cousin, this family member, said that, I see genies around you. And he's saying this in French, because it's a French-speaking West African country. And I said, genies? Like, what? I only understood that in English. But he meant spirits. And he said, you have the type of spirits around you that will show you things and show you how to heal people. Mm. And I was just like, wow, I felt good, and it felt like, oh, okay, that's something somewhere.
Yeah,
that's making sense.
Somebody's giving me something.
And I didn't know what to do with that information, but I kept it close to my heart. And so I started to go to spiritual retreats, and I experienced my first Native American sweat lodge. The priestess that led the ceremony was just so powerful. She spent hours walking around the land and preparing beforehand. And the way that she carried herself, it just seemed so sacred. And then the actual ceremony, being connected to the earth, being around in a circle of women, going through this cleansing process and experiencing spirit completely different than inside of a church. Mm. For me, there was a resonance. I felt like I'm finally getting to where I'm feeling like I'm being pulled. And then finally, from that space, I connected with an African priestess who led a spiritual retreat, and actually got a reading from her and experienced ritual and ceremony for the first time. And I remember in the midst of the ceremony and the ritual, I had this like moment of pause, like in the movies, you know, when you kind of just look back, and I realized that, wow, anybody else who would have been seeing this might think this is a little strange, this is a little off, but right now I am amazed. I'm like, wow, this is an aspect of my culture that I didn't even know about. I wasn't told. It's not talked about. There's so much depth. It's more than just clothes. It's more than just music. There's a whole spirit to it and a connection that we have that is beyond time.
And that's why we're glad you're here talking about it after having made that connection.
Right.
We're going to talk more about some of the things that you did discover about your heritage and your culture, and your family for that matter, and then what you do with it when we come back with Gogo Tule. And then a little later on, we're going to have live music in the studio with Jacqueline Fuentes, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Gogo Tule. And actually, Gogo, what does Gogo mean?
Gogo means grandmother in Zulu, and it represents the elders and the ancestral spirits that have called me to become a healer, who I walk with. And so when you call me Gogo, you're not so much addressing me, the person and the individual, but these elder spirits.
Well, speaking of elder spirits, in your history, in your family,
Yes. You
have a grandfather who did what?
I have a grandfather who was said to have gone into the bush one day in the village, and he connected with the spirit of the bush and was able and given the ability to heal bones. And so he was shown certain herbs and medicines. And so for a long time, people would line up to his hut in the village, and they would come and he would massage them a certain way with certain herbs and heal broken bones. So that is was a big revelation for me to understand that this was in my family and that the calling wasn't just random, but it was rooted in my blood and from recent blood to very ancient times.
Well, and your grandfather not so coincidentally, also had trouble reconciling what that was with his family at the time, right? Because he was Catholic as well.
Yeah, he was Catholic. And, you know, for some reason, some people in the family believed that because he didn't pass this on, that it must have been something evil about it, or it must have been something wrong about it that he didn't continue and pass it down to any of the children. But I have seen that from a different perspective spiritually, because I also see that there's an issue now in my family where a couple of people are having issues with bones and broken bones. And so for me, it's like, well, that gift, that ability was not passed down. And now there's this omen or this symptom that is happening in the family to recognize that this gift is there.
Well, speaking of gifts, you are a Sangoma traditional healer. And what is Sangoma?
Yes. Sangoma is the word for healer or shaman in the context of South Africa and the healers there. So it actually means, it translates people of the drum, but it's our word for healer.
Actually, drum is a very important part of all this.
Exactly.
Drums and herbs and dance and music. And so tell us more what you've learned.
Yeah, so our form of healing is very earth-based. We work with medicines, we work with divination or throwing the bones, which is our way of oracle and seeing spiritually what is happening with people on a mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional level. We also work through different altered states of consciousness or trance. So through the drumming, through the song, through the certain practices, we're able to perceive the spirit realm, perceive the ancestral realm, receive messages and bring them back, so that they can enlighten us, that we can bring clarity and understand the spiritual meaning behind the experiences that we're having, whether that's anxiety, whether that's illness, whether that's certain dreams, certain awakenings and sensations in our bodies, getting to understand these things. And so once we get an idea and a sense of what's happening with you through the different medicines, guided by spirit, the spirits let us know, okay, this person needs this, this medicine or this ritual or this purge, or this ceremony and this rites in order to come into balance, in order to align with the spirits that are with them. And and so we work through all of these elements, the divination, throwing the bones, the rituals, using the elements of the earth and medicines, the drumming, the dancing.
So some people, you say, like, if somebody else watching this movie would say, this is so odd, and yet you feel so connected in this movie, right? And so some people might say, well, somebody that's coming to you, what they need is this drug or that doctor or this. Why would you go to a practice that's so old that we've, quote unquote, graduated from?
You know, one thing that I have seen is that it's not so old that it doesn't relate. A lot of the things that people are experiencing right now are connected to these very ancient or old things. And it's not about going backwards in time, but it's about going back, taking it and bringing it into the future and evolving, you know, beyond what they had. But to answer your question specifically, people will express things that they're experiencing, certain dreams, certain sensations, or they keep trying to do something in their life and it never comes together. These are all signs. These are all omens. These are all symptoms that are pointing to something old. And a lot of things that are happening with us, whether it's an illness or an imbalance of any kind, it didn't start with you. Just like when you go to the doctors and they ask you about your family's history, on a spiritual level, it's the family's history, it's the past lives, it's the experiences that were taken from them and that still carry on with us. One time I had a woman who was just having an experience with the left side of her arm, just feeling sensations and pain. And through the healing work, we were able to see that there was a grandmother spirit, because the left side can represent the ancient mothers or the feminine energy. And so we saw that there was a grandmother spirit that was bothering her through the pain that she was feeling in order to help her alleviate the issues that that grandmother spirit was having in that lifetime so that she could be free of the pain. So when we heal those things that are seem so far in the past or old, we see that they have to do with what we're experiencing today, what we're seeing right now. And whether that's an ancestral thing or a spiritual thing, it's all connected, because a lot of times the deities or the angels or whatever that we're connected to are connected to the ancestors that we have, because they worked with those deities. They worked with those spirits. And so they are with us because of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So people in their life, do they come to you because they're African American and they want to connect with it? Obviously that does happen, but this works for everybody. Like, it's not just the African American people that are connected to their ancestors.
Exactly. We all have ancestors. And so this work touches and can reach all people. Of course, African American people tend to be more drawn to my work because it's something that they can identify with. It's something that a lot of people are searching for, understanding their roots, their heritage, and where they come from. But because we all have ancestors, this does help all people. And one thing that I've noticed is whether you're African, even as an African, I was born in West Africa and I connected to a lineage beyond West Africa into South Africa. And I've connected with spirits of different traditions and lineages because I was other things in other lives. And so through this work, we're able to really understand this concept of we are human beings having a spiritual experience. We're able to see all of what we are spiritually, because this one lifetime, this one race is just a part of the story.
So someone that's just outside of coming to see you, where can they start on their own as far as you're concerned? Because I know your website is Sacred Liberation. So you're helping them liberate themselves from their current story or their current health experiences or whatever, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So where could they start?
Yes.
On their own? Yeah.
To connect spiritually? I always say that the ancestors are looking for us to just honor them, recognize them, and be more aware, because they're moving and shifting things, and just like the concept of guardian angels and how they're helping us in doing things. And so just to begin to acknowledge and recognize is really significant. One thing that we always do in our prayer or in our meditation is to name them. Name the ancestors that you know that you had a positive relationship with, or you at least know good stories about. Even just naming your last name of your mother's maiden name and your father's maiden name is like entering codes in the universe to say, oh, I am your daughter, or I am your son and I'm here. I recognize you. Some people don't always know who's there on the ancestral team, but just to begin to name what you can and ask them to reveal themselves to you in a sacred way. So whether that's at your sacred space at home, in your meditations, but setting that intention, and then beginning to have a form of communication. One thing about ancestors is that they're family. They're very involved. They're very nosy. And, you know, they care about
now
us. They want to make sure
do
that.
Do I want to call them in?
I mean, they're already involved and they're already seeing everything. And so just like in our lives, in their lives, like we talk to them, you talk to them spiritually as well, like their family. Like, this is what is going on with me. I'm having a hard time with this. Please go ahead of me and protect me and please help me. You know, just having that relationship with them, even on a spiritual level, taking that physical concept and crossing it over into the spiritual level. So finding a way of honoring, and this can be very personal, so it doesn't have to be exactly what I'm saying, but just finding something that resonates with you. And a lot of people do things this in small ways, whether it's having a picture of their grandmother or an item of theirs that they used to have, but just being more conscious and aware and intention with that practice.
This is something that I'm not really aware of as far as our American culture, that we do much along these lines, but there are so many cultures that do.
Yes.
The Hispanics, for example, actually, we can ask Jacqueline about that, but yeah, and then obviously maybe all of Africa, the whole continent. But so, you know, my first thought, because you started going into, like, I know some people that I wouldn't want involved in my life, you know what I'm saying, that are from the past.
Yes.
Can you tell them to go away? I mean, not you. Can we tell them to go? Yeah, you can do it, too. Let's all tell them to go away.
Yes. So there's a couple of things with that. One, there are some spirits who hurt us, some ancestors who hurt us, who wronged us, who shamed the family in some type of way. And so a part of ancestral healing is to help elevate those spirits, to take them from a low vibration because they might have died in in these negative states. And so the work that we do helps raise them up to a higher vibration and allow them to be in a different state in the spiritual realm, where they can now act as guardians or helpers or whatever type of relationship you want. So that's a part of the healing that happens when you do healing for yourself. It heals these ancestral spirits that walk with you. There are some spirits who don't want to change. So we do, you know, ask them to, you know, like, go off into another space. You can't be here if you're going to be like this. And
I like that, even for this time and space.
Yes. But for
people
me,
in our lives today kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go.
Yes. But the importance, though, is healing, because no matter how, you know, if they go next door, if they go down the street, they're your blood. And so it's something about within you that you have to face, you know, because you're connected to it, whether it was your actions or not. It's something that is running in your DNA. It's something that's activating the way that you speak or the way that you engage in relationships. And so if you don't heal that and face that, it's going to still run your life in some type of way.
To his comments, that maybe the ones that we want around the least are the ones that are most prominently involved for those reasons.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, I feel great about that. well, actually, I feel great about all of this, and I look forward to a little bit more conversation with Gogo Tule when we come back, and talking about what else she's doing out in the world that we think is very important. And we're also going to have live music in just a little bit with Jacqueline Fuentes, who comes from Chile. And joining us in the studio in just a couple of minutes will be Dorothy Donahue with her Ask Dorothy segment, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and a go-go. And of course, our guest, Gogo Tule. Well, a go-go, it's yes. And a grandmother. Or yes. You represent so much in that name and in what you do. And actually, I wanted to say, a couple things. For those who want to know more about Gogo Tule, you could find more information on our website with several links to her social media, etc. But her website specifically is sacredliberation.com. And then for the others, you can go to our website for that. But another thing, first of all, congratulations. You've done a great job on your very first radio interview.
Yay,
live.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is exciting. And secondly, what you're doing here this very moment, and as you're living your life, I can see, is making it so that other men and women, girls and boys out there who are having this experience or an experience of wanting or being pulled to outside of what their current box is, they can hear your story as Dorothy has shared her story, and I and Mark and so many of us and so many guests before that say, I resonate with that, and they could expand with us.
Yes.
It's almost like the opposite of what, you know, not working on our ancestors. Now we're working on the ones that come with us and after us.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like this path has just shown me how significant that inkling, that feeling that something is there, there's something more, how important it is to follow it and discover it and expand on it. Don't make it small. Don't make it like it's nothing. We're asking so many questions. We're asking to know, and we're being given glimpses or what I call puzzle pieces, and we're supposed to put it together. Like one of my elders says, the ancestors live their lives, and it's time for us to live ours. They're just here to help and assist and to help nudge. And so if you're getting the nudge and you're feeling like there's something more, it's like a call. It's a calling. And it's so important to answer, you know, for our own well-being. It has helped me see things that I never thought were possible about myself, know things that I didn't know about myself, not just who I am in this lifetime and a daughter and my mom and my dad, but beyond this lifetime, so many memories, so many activations in my DNA have allowed me to be here. And it's not an easy journey, but it's one that has humbled me and that has given me a sense of who I am and power that no other place or no other thing outside of myself could. So for that, I'm grateful. I'm honored to be able to walk this path. And I'm grateful always. I have to say thank you to my elders, because they have made the sacrifices and opened up the way for these traditions and these concepts to stay alive in an authentic way, in a way of integrity, in a way that keeps people safe. So I'm grateful, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're grateful and glad to have you. And so you do your work one-on-one with people, or you lead workshops and you do talks, right?
Yes. Yes. So I do readings, always divination. We always go to spirit first to see what is happening with people before we do any type of work. I do offer healing sessions as a follow-up. I do workshops to help people begin to understand these very ancient or sometimes very different concepts, and who the ancestors are, things like dreaming and connecting through certain rituals. I do also ceremonies so that people can experience some of what you would see in Africa spiritually, and retreats so that we can get away and connect as well.
Get away and get away. Thank you, Gogo. This has been very special. Learn more about Gogo on our website and her website at sacredliberation.com. Thank you. And with that, we have a shout out.
We do have a shout out. We want to give a shout out to our very own Brent Hahn and Studio NoHo, which is the home base for Radioactive Commercials, where they've been recording, sound designing, and mixing award-winning radio spots and original music for over 10 years. Please check them out at studio-noho.net.
And now for our Ask Dorothy segment. Dorothy, Mark, what is our question?
Dear Dorothy, my name is Judith, and I'm in Sarasota, Florida. My best friend Lizzie has changed dramatically since she began working with a healer. For years, she was scared and very shy, and now she is totally different. The difference in the way she is now and the way she used to be is like night and day. She is very happy in today's world, and I just don't understand how she could be. The world is in worse shape than ever. However, Lizzie says her guides are telling her that things are getting better, better, and better. Where is all this coming from about her guides, and what is going on?
Judith, I thank you for asking this important question. I believe that working with the healer has obviously assisted Lizzie in getting in touch with her guides. I have guides, you have guides, we all have guides, and yet we're not encouraged to know this or explore this truth. Personally, I've had guides ever since I can remember. As a child, I talked to them and they talked to me. When I shared what they had to say with my family became afraid for me and asked that I not talk with my friends about my guides. I became shut down at an early age. However, even after I tried to not hear them, they appeared when I was in dangerous situations and they helped me. After I read some books while studying how life works, I woke up and once again began to communicate with my guides consciously. And I learned that our main spirit guide is with us 24/7 from birth until death. It was such a relief to remember that we are never alone. We are spiritual beings on a very interesting journey of becoming human. I ask you to consider creating a clear relationship with your spirit guides, as I believe this will dramatically improve your quality of life and you can become happier with good guidance. Our guides provide a powerful source for us to become clear and less afraid as life unfolds all around us. Our guides are always with us, and when we ask the right questions, we get really good answers. You might wish to ask Lizzie how she got in touch with her guides in such a powerful way that her life has changed dramatically. You might also wish to work with a healer to help you establish a clear understanding of what to expect from a good, healthy spiritual guide relationship. There are hundreds of books on the subject, and you can search the internet where there are hundreds of thousands of good articles on the subject. And by the way, I agree with Lizzie that things are truly getting better and better and better, no matter what mainstream media would have you believe. I believe this because that is also what my guides are telling me. Judith, I look forward to hearing from you once you have reconnected with your guides, if you choose to consciously do so.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with Jacqueline Fuentes here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course our guest, Gogo. And joining us in the studio is Chilean singer-songwriter Jacqueline Fuentes. Welcome, Jacqueline, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Filippo, for having me.
It's a pleasure. You came in with so much power, and right away you said, I want to play a traditional Chilean piece, which that wasn't what you had planned on doing. What inspired you?
Gogo, the conversation that I've been listening for these 40 minutes, I think. We are connected. We are connected. You know, I'm a citizen from the world, but also I'm representing South America, and I would like to share with you parts of our culture through music, through the rhythm of the three in terms of the heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. Boom. The majority of Latin American music is done in that beat, which is the heart.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they call it? The rhythm of three?
The three. I mean, it's, you have four, which different rhythms. Mm-hmm. Pop music very much is in four or twos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But three or six is part of the heartbeat. Bim, boom, 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 boom. So that is something that you know, it's part of intrinsic to human beings. But for Latin American music, we are very connected to the rhythm. And to me, it comes to me naturally. I mean, pretty much all my music is done in three or six.
Wow. Well, I think we should go straight to that, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit. But does this have a name?
Volver a los 17, returning to 17th, from the famous and our mother, grandmother, Violeta Parra.
Oh, okay. Volver a los
17.
Okay, well, here's Jacqueline Fuentes performing Volver a los 17 live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Después de vivir un siglo, es como descifrar signos sin ser sabio competente. Volver a ser de repente tan frágil como un segundo. Volver a sentir profundo como un niño frente a Dios. Eso es lo que siento yo en este instante fecundo. Lo que puede el sentimiento no lo ha podido el saber, ni el más claro proceder, ni el más ancho pensamiento. Y todo lo cambia al momento, cual mago condescendiente nos aleja dulcemente de rencores y violencias. Solo el amor con su ciencia y lo vuelve tan inocente. Se va enredando, enredando, como en el muro la hiedra. Y va brotando y brotando, como el mosquito en la piedra. Mosquito en la piedra, y sí, sí, sí. El amor es torbellino de pureza original, hasta el feroz animal susurra su dulce trino, detiene a los peregrinos, libera a los prisioneros. El amor con sus esmeros al viejo lo vuelve niño, y al malo solo el cariño, y lo vuelve puro y sincero. La última. De par en par la ventana se abrió como por encanto, y entró el amor con su manto tibia mañana, y al son de su bella diana hizo brotar el jazmín, volando cual serafín al cielo le puso arete,
wanted to clap along in rhythm, and I wish I had drums, and I just, and oh, if you could have seen her, Jacqueline Fuentes, she was dancing on her chair while she was playing the guitar. She was just all lit up, and wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, I couldn't help but notice, actually, in your sleeves, you have some of the colors of that are representative of the culture, no?
Yeah, those are the sign, ancient designs with modern, which is
combined,
who we are.
Yes.
Combined.
Yeah.
From a Chilean designer, yeah.
And the same with, oh, really? A Chilean designer.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll have to take a picture of the two of you together because Gogo's all dressed up in colors, cultural colors as well. So speaking of Chilean, you have been representing Chile since a very young age and the Latin culture, South American culture. How did that happen?
It just happened. Mm. It's like, you know, Gogo was sharing. It was... They knock at my door. I really didn't think about being a singer-songwriter.
Oh.
I mean, I my dad used to record me when I was very little, but it was not into my desire yet. It was too young. It was just things that synchronicities in life that there was, you know, this happened to this lead to that, and then, boom, suddenly I'm out auditioning for a very important group band at that time, and... You know, I was 14, 15 years old in 11th grade with my uniform and going to these older people, you know, doing the audition. And I just started to be the lead vocal of a professional band. And that was changed my life.
And so you toured with that, the world, and then leaving that, you toured again the world with a folklorico, with a dance troupe, right?
Yeah, between that, I went to college. I graduated, and I went to the National Conservatory of Music to be a classical singer. And I was still in that band that I was in high school. But also remember where I was also... I grew up in Chile in the, you know, 80s also. We live a dictatorship. Mm. I was living in a dictatorship for 17 years. So I was really aware of social, of the violation of human rights in my country. So that definitely prompted me until now, until who I am right now. So it was to be a classical singer and to just really play for this elite, for me, it wasn't... I was really like in vital contradiction of also of who I was since very young, also being.
So it wasn't about wanting to entertain them, so to speak, right? And true to what you were feeling then, now you are treating music as what?
I treat music as a service. Mm. I came here to do service. Mm. And for me, music have many different ways to be used. And it's not for me as an entertainment, mm-hmm. actually. It's as I use it as I'm a teaching artist as well as a performing artist. So I use it in education, mm-hmm. and I use it for social change. And I use it as a voice coach. I use also for healing and connection and inspiration and all of that. I mean, it has a huge, it's a powerful tool that I hope that many people that is listening to this program start singing.
Speaking of tool, earlier when we were talking, you used the powerful word medicine, that you use it as medicine.
A medicine.
Yeah. Medicina.
La medicina.
Well, actually, I'd love more of your medicine. What do we get to hear now?
Let me see if I'm in tune. You are going to listen to this song, beautiful song. Vengo a ofrecer mi corazón. I'm coming to offer my heart.
Vengo
a ofrecer.
Ofrecer.
Mi corazón.
Okay. Here is Jacqueline.
When you feel like everything is lost, I'm coming to offer my heart.
Here's Jacqueline Fuentes singing Vengo a ofrecer mi corazón live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you.
cosa no será tan simple como hoy pensaba, como abrir el pecho y sacar el alma. Una cuchillada del amor, luna de los pobres siempre abierta. Como un documento inalterable, y yo vengo a ofrecer mi corazón y uniré las puntas de un mismo lazo y me iré tranquila y me iré despacio. Cuando los satélites no alcancen, y yo vengo a ofrecer mi corazón, y hablo de países y de esperanza, hablo por la vida, hablo por la nada, hablo de cambiar.
Jacqueline Fuentes. Wow, thank you so much. I have a quote here from the Bali Spirit Festival, One World, One Stage. It says, Jacqueline Fuentes is an intense experience, a fusion of love, awareness, and revolution. Audiences are mesmerized by the power of her voice and the beauty of her lyrics. I think they could also reverse that and say, audiences are mesmerized by the power of her lyrics and the beauty of her voice. Thank you, Jacqueline. This has been so special.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share with you my medicine. Thank you. Thank you, Gogo.
Thank you for sharing in the way that you have. A shout out to Tess Cacciatore for introducing us of Gwen. Thank you, Tess. And one more time, gracias a Jacqueline Fuentes. Jacqueline Fuentes, you can learn more about her, of course, on our website. And then at jacquelinefuentes.com, go to J-A-C-Q-U-E-L-I-N-E. That's Jacqueline Fuentes, F-U-E-N-T-E-S, Fuentes, JacquelineFuentes.com. And once again, a big thank you to Gogo Tule for being our guest. Whew, that is our show. Thank you, Brent Hahn, first off here at Studio NoHo, for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, Mark Lejeur, our producer, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everybody.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.